You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's time for another Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that's fueled by Surge and fed by Skittles. I'm Josh.
I don't know if we can say brand names like that.
We can say brand names. I'm Sam.
And I'm Cody, and I'm not endorsing anything.
I'm Samantha.
Oh, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you for tuning in. We have a bunch of news, but before we get into it, let's talk about some things we've been checking out. I am gesturing with my hands like crazy, and I don't know why.
Because you can't see it.
Just wave them in the hair.
Just like I don't care?
Yeah.
Okay.
We spent a lot of time the past couple of days playing Her Story.
Oh, yeah?
It's really, really interesting. It's a weird game. It's just a bunch of short video clips in a police database, and you search for them using like a search engine, and then you put together all the clips. Well, I mean, you don't physically put them together in the game. You just do it in your head to try and figure out what happened to this woman and how her husband died or who killed her husband or whatever.
Oh, wow.
And it's really interesting.
We cannot talk about the plot at all, though.
Is it kind of like one of those, like, kind of like a visual story, kind of game novel kind of thing?
Yeah, but I don't know. I think there's more gameplay going on than some of those. There's more going on than,
you have to think.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think of the right keywords to use to find more videos.
Or you're stuck.
Yeah.
You're out of luck.
Based on what she talks about in the videos you have seen.
Hmm.
Like, the game opens up to this computer desktop, this 90s computer desktop, and the word murder has already been searched. So you start with these five videos pertaining to the keyword murder, and from there you just have to keep...
I feel like they could go to a dark place quickly.
We have to keep searching based on the things you uncover in the videos. And you also have a button that'll show you how many of the videos you've seen out of all of them. There's like 200 some.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
I mean, some of them are like 3 seconds long.
No.
Yeah.
And they don't really have any information at all. They're just...
fluff.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. That sounds like a really...
it's really, really good.
Really compelling story and gameplay and stuff. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's really well written too. Mm-hmm. And like, it goes places... I expected a more straightforward story.
Oh, no.
But no.
Things get real weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Now, is it for PC or is it for... Yeah. Okay.
I think it's coming out for PlayStation soon.
Really?
Which I can't see that being any fun, typing in everything with a controller, but check it out. I mean, it's cool. I mean, we've seen, 75% of the videos? And
there's still like a chunk that we're just completely not getting.
Yeah, because like we figured out almost all of her backstory, but we have almost nothing on the actual murder.
Oh, wow.
Like you can see like a line that's like blank in the database, like, oh, that's what we're missing. We can't figure it out.
Huh.
And it's all one woman acting in all of the videos, and she does a fantastic job.
Cool. Very cool.
She even plays guitar and sings in a couple of the videos.
I remember that the first video popped up with the guitar, I'm like... what?
She needed some jam buds.
But that's really good. I would recommend that to almost anybody.
Yeah, I think I've been seeing it pop up here and there, like kind of being mentioned here and there. I just never knew anything about it. Like there's a lot of like those weird kind of slice of lifey kind of games. Like, you know, there was like a
Cybele.
Yeah, and what was that one?
They're the ones that people on Steam get all ticked off about, and they call them walking simulators because they're children who've never read a book for pleasure.
Right. Yeah, but there was like the one with the girl in the school. The one you control time. I can't remember the name of it now.
Oh, Life is Strange.
Life is Strange. And there's like another one, a new one now. I read an article where it help somebody get over, like...
Oh, Oxenfree.
Yes.
We actually did
play that all the way through also. It was pretty good.
I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't get a good ending.
I think we got bad ends.
Yeah, I think we got the bad end, but... I mean, it's a not really a point-and-click adventure game. It's kind of a walk and put frequencies into a radio.
I don't know, but it was...
A walking simulator?
But it has such a good atmosphere.
Yeah. And the dialogue, I think, is really well written.
flatter in Life is Strange.
Yeah, it doesn't feel as awkward as Life is Strange. It doesn't sound
how you
like...
do, fellow teens.
That's how I felt with Life is Strange. It was like, it's like, well, we're not in college, so we'll just find out, we'll see what college or high school kids sound like.
It's like, no.
It takes at least two episodes of Life is Strange to get over how bad this, like, slang and stuff is.
You just have to ignore it.
Yo, it's Wizard. I'm bringing Wizard back.
Hells yeah, Max.
Hey, yo, you want to go to the b-ball court and shoot some hoops?
Mr. Jefferson.
Oh, man.
That was a good game, too.
It's a good game, but the writing is terrible.
Well, that writing.
Okay, the dialogue. The dialogue is
really good and it's surprising in parts. And I think a lot of reviewers way underscored it. Mm. I think Polygon was giving it like sixes or some crap.
Oh, that's weird.
So yeah, it's not a six.
Yeah.
It's probably an eight. It's a good time to like stories in games. There's a lot of games that are just telling good stories right now. Which
is good.
Yeah.
Because we've had like just, you know, a couple years of just
Mario ripoffs
and AAA titles that are really just rehashing of the same old crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong, there are some AAA titles out there that I like, series that I like to follow, but as a whole, not a lot of innovation going on.
No. A lot of just meathead shooting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chest high walls and brown environments.
Or even Fallout 4 was terribly dumbed down in comparison to 3 or especially New Vegas.
The backgrounds in Oxenfree were beautiful too.
Yeah, a lot of painted backgrounds in Oxenfree, and everything is like zoomed way out. So it's a lot of the background, and then the characters are tiny, and it's almost like platform game control.
Oh, cool.
But without jumping. It's different, though. I haven't ever really played a game like it. The closest you can say is like it's like a Sierra point-and-click, but there's no real inventory.
There's just like dialogue choices, but I don't know how much it has to...
It changes the story?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'd have to go through it again.
Yeah, not get the bad ending.
Yeah. A lot of time travel weirdness and...
Give me the Ghiblis.
Yeah, it gets pretty creepy. There's a cool effect where there's like temporal anomaly beings, I guess, and they talk through clips of radio broadcasts, each different word.
Oh, wow.
And it sounds really creepy and cool.
So the Bumblebee.
Bumblebee from the Transformers movies. They're just ripping off Michael Bay.
I'm so sick of people throwing down the walking simulator card.
Yeah.
Like, just because a game isn't for you personally doesn't mean it doesn't have a right to exist. It's like in movies, like, you don't get mad and write fiery emails to the people who make romantic comedies just because you don't like them.
Well, we don't. I'm sure somebody has.
Not to the extent that people do about video games, though. And that's just what it is the video game,
the gamer culture, that toxic pool.
Well, it's just video games opening up to more people and having more genres, mm-hmm. you know, for more people, which is perfectly right and what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that old-timey silent movie that was just a train coming at the screen and it scared people. It's like if there was a big group of people thinking that's what movies are and they should all be like that. All right. The time, forever.
Right. Yep. It's just that the game, I don't want to say game culture, but like games as a medium has taken longer to progress story-wise into being like an actual art form than like movies and television, books, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, because of the technology.
Yeah, and because it's taken longer, it's had more older fans that were... liked it better when it was a niche
the market, status quo
when they were making things just for them, and now that the art form is expanding because of technology and because of cultural, you know, awareness or whatever, the old fans are scared and they're unfortunately have the internet to complain on.
And it's like, it's not gonna make those games go away,
right? Yeah, but they don't see that. They
there's
just
not
see,
a limited number of games that can be made in a year.
Not my first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Like, and the people who want to make these games that are different weren't going to make the, like, they're different people. You know, mm-hmm. they weren't going to make a shooter game to begin with. It's a whole new crowd of interested developers interested in making different games.
Right.
It's not going to affect your AAA games. Right. They're still going to be Call of Duties.
Yeah,
unfortunately. I can't say much. I do play the EA Star Wars, which is essentially Battlefield.
Yeah.
I sent it back. I played it a couple times and was like, "Oh my god, okay, I get it."
A new patch came out this week and it helped so much. I don't get as mad anymore. Like, there's this weapon called the homing shot. It was the most like ridiculous weapon ever. Like, seriously, it was like way worse than any rocket launcher or noob tube or anything in a shooter I've ever experienced. It's like locked dead. And I'm like, what? Like, I just spawned and I crested a hill and now I'm dead. How did he even have time to lock on to me?
That sounds like when I play the game just normally. Crest a hill, die.
they increased its lock on time and a bunch of other stuff. I mean, and they added outfits.
That's good.
You get a new hat.
Yeah. Oh, Luke and Han actually have Hoth outfits now instead of like their just normal outfits.
Which
I'm hoping at some point Leia will stop wearing her Hoth outfit on every map.
My favorite part of it is when while the game is installing, you get to go around as Vader and kill people on the PlayStation. PlayStation 4.
Oh, see, I don't have that.
While it's installing onto the PlayStation 4, they're like, here, kill some guys as Darth Vader. And you basically can't lose, and you just go around
force choking people and
for like 20 minutes while the game installs.
When you're playing as Vader, it's really hard to lose anyway. He's really overpowered.
I never got to play as any of the heroes.
Did you want to talk about Legends of Tomorrow?
That was gonna be my checkout.
Okay.
Well, you want to talk about?
Yeah, you want to talk about Legends of Tomorrow?
All right. Well, it's time again for DC TV. Is all back in the mix.
Oh yeah.
We actually watched this one. I think everybody watched.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, we all did. I think.
Yep. Yeah.
Even my mom.
You know who watched Legends of Tomorrow? My mom.
My mom did too, actually.
My mom doesn't care. But my mom understands that I like it.
Okay, anyway.
Legends of Tomorrow.
It's not Momcast.
Yes, it is.
What my mom watched this week.
To call her off.
We got a special guest on the phone, Cody's mom.
Okay.
Anyway, Legends of Tomorrow. So they had their premiere episode for the new CW DC series.
Okay, so explain to the listener what Legend of Tomorrow is.
Basically,
we've just said the name five times in a row.
Basically, you have a bunch of characters that have appeared in Arrow and Flash,
mm-hmm.
and they're all like side characters and things like that. They come together for a greater story and to travel through time with a character named Rip Hunter,
the Doctor,
basically
Doctor Who,
basically, yeah. Which is he's played by Arthur Duvall. Who was on Doctor Who.
Yeah, he's yeah. Rory.
Yeah, he's Rory, and he's really channeling some Doctor-ness.
Yeah.
And basically going through time to try to stop the villain Vandal Savage from basically taking over the world in the far future.
Vandal Savage is an immortal, and he's been secretly behind every world war and every major conflict since, well, in this show,
Ancient Egypt.
In the comics, Caveman times.
Yeah.
He was the one that created fire and taught cavemen how to fight and
yeah,
stuff like that.
So on and so forth.
Yeah.
Basically, he's traveling through history as basically a war god.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just that, just trying to stop him from, stop this terrible future. Basically, they're trying to stop Skynet in a ancient Egyptian form.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting the cast that they've pulled for this season.
Yeah.
Because you're getting long-standing characters like Firestorm, who's popped up on The Flash a lot.
Yeah, but he's like the newer Firestorm, though.
Well, it's the original Martin Stein, though.
Yes, Martin Stein, but the new kid.
Mm-hmm. And the Atom, who was...
Arrow.
He's on Arrow, but he's also Superman in yes. Superman Returns.
Yes, he was. Brandon Routh did play Superman
in Superman. And also the, was it the fourth Evil X in Scott Pilgrim, the vegan bassist.
Was that him?
That was him. Oh. This is Brandon Routh. Oh. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, let's see. Who else was in it? Hawkman and Hawkgirl, which are new for this series, although they've popped up on Arrow a couple times.
They were
introduced on Arrow.
They were introduced on Flash.
Oh, they were. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because she was the Hawkgirl was the barista at the coffee
you're right.
shop.
Yeah.
And Cisco and her had a thing.
Right.
But then they had the crossover event between Flash and Arrow. Mm-hmm. With Vandal Savage introducing him, and
were really cool. I liked them.
Yeah,
their look is good. Yeah. I don't like the guy who plays Hawkman. I feel like he's really wooden in his acting.
But then again, that's Hawkman though.
True,
he's
true.
Not supposed to, his personality type is that he's not supposed to have a personality. He's supposed to be just a block of wood with wings.
though I'm really sad that Hawkgirl's not Themigarian, and it's the newer Hawkgirl. I understand that from the comics.
Yeah,
but I really wanted Alien bird people.
Yeah.
They could still explain that they were
true
secret,
I guess.
Yeah, that's how they did it on the Justice League cartoon.
The
one Hawkman was a reincarnation. The other one was just Themigarian.
But they came to Earth and were treated as gods in Egyptian.
It's been a long time since I watched Justice League Unlimited.
Flying around in Egypt times.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
See here, we got Captain Cold and Heatwave,
who were the highlight of this episode.
I know, right?
They were both from Prison Break.
Yeah, they played brothers.
They were the brothers, like the leads in Prison Break, and now they're playing like these big old Dumbo villains.
Well, Captain Cold
with their dumb tuckuses. and we've got not Black Canary. I guess she's White Canary. And I didn't care for her on Arrow at all, but she's a lot better on this show. Like, I like her a lot on this show, and
yeah, that whole bar scene was great.
That was
the Captain and Tennille bar fight.
Yeah, that was really good.
It's worth watching the show for that alone, I think.
That's all of them.
Yeah, we got them all.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and Rip Hunter and
which is it sounds like a hero from a 50s pulp novel.
Because he was.
Oh.
Yeah. Rip Hunter's an old, like an old, very, very old school character. And actually, the name of his ship is actually a callback to another Time Master.
Wave Runner.
The Wave Rider.
It's called the TARDIS.
No, that ship was very much when they landed it and it went invisible, I had very much a Voyage Home vibes from it.
It looks like the ship in Firefly.
It kinda.
It's that junky looking on the outside.
I don't think it's that junky looking.
It's the Star Wars used future look.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, when they get to the 70s and all the TV, like they're playing like Welcome Back, Carter.
Yeah.
And Heatwave is like, why is this channel just playing reruns?
Yeah. But no, it's really good. I'm definitely going to go back and watch more.
Tonight is
episode two.
Pilot part two.
Yeah.
It's superhero Doctor Who.
I mean,
more or less.
Pretty much.
And I like how the show is kind of modular, so they can add and subtract characters as they need for this series.
Because time travel is convenient like that.
Yeah.
Oh, and the fact that Gideon is back.
The talking computer?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because it was a big thing in Flash, season one, and it seems to be a staying force within the...
Yeah, they did a really good job tying it in, but not making it overly...
Oh, like also, I was watching it, and they're fighting Kronos.
Oh, yeah.
And Captain Cold comes running up. He goes, we're gone for 10 minutes and you pick a fight with Boba Fett? Yeah. And I'm laughing at the same time. I'm like, how much did that reference cost them?
Yeah, right.
Because that couldn't have been cheap.
Yeah. But it was really good. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I did enjoy it too. I mean...
And you're right. It's not too tied into the other shows because I've seen two seasons of Arrow. And that's it, and I still really enjoyed it. So,
well, it feels different, and I think that's what made Flash popular for me anyway, is the fact that it was so much different than Arrow. Mm-hmm. And there are times, though, there is still a lot of brooding in Flash, and it annoys me. But then we get back to the running, and I'm good again. but this feels completely different than those two altogether.
I think it has more in common with Flash than it does Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got more fun.
Yes.
Even though Arrow was on it. In kind of a forced, like, I'm here and I say this is okay kind of moment.
I was the one that started this whole train, so I got to be in there. I don't know. I definitely feel like the CWDC stuff is getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, Arrow...
It wasn't bad to begin with, but it's going up.
I mean, Arrow, sure. is, Arrow was okay. I would say Arrow is not terrible. It's not great, but it's not terrible.
It's watchable.
It's yeah. watchable. It is definitely. It's definitely way more watchable than past superhero shows I've seen. Do we remember Birds of Prey? Because that was garbage.
I remember Birds of Prey.
That was garbage.
Do you remember the Justice League live action pilot?
No.
You've never seen that?
No.
Oh my God, I know what we're going to do once we get done recording.
Oh God.
It was based on Justice League International.
Oh.
Like the comedy sitcom series
really?
From the 80s. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
It was basically Friends with Superpowers, but they wow. all sucked.
Wow.
That's like a Robot Chicken sketch.
Nobody yeah. told me life was going to be this way.
Zap, 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 zap.
Superheroes.
Anyway, DC TV getting good. Oh, yeah. I really need to catch up on Supergirl.
Your yeah. parents are DOA.
Oh, God.
That's Batman friends.
They're super friends.
Oh, God. All right.
Yeah, they could have just called it Super Friends. I mean, why not?
What? Yeah. I did hear Constantine might pop up on Legends of Tomorrow here sometime this season.
I hope. I really like him.
It would fit.
Meanwhile, at the Apartment of Justice.
You're done.
The Flash and Green Lantern discovered they have free porn for the weekend. I recently watched that Friends episode.
Ah.
I remember that episode.
Yeah, Ross is dating a girl from England or something, and he goes to go confess his love to her in England, but she stayed here in America by accident, and they have to call on the phone. It's, God, I hate Friends.
Yeah, it's a terrible show.
Yeah. Anyway, DC TV.
Awesome. Well, I have one thing real quick, and it's funny that Cody, you talked about video games, and Josh, you mentioned something about the Terminator, because I played it. Long-time listeners, and it feels weird saying long-time listeners, know that I'm kind of a fighting game guy. And, you know, sometimes I venture outside of, like, your Street Fighters and your Mortal Kombats and stuff, because you can't eat steak every day, right?
I can.
Well, but then, So I kind of, every once in a while, I get clued in on, you know, the lesser-known games and stuff. And I found this one. It was put out in 2009. It was Chinese only, so it's all in, you know, foreign language, Mandarin or whatever. Let me pull up the actual name of it here. It is called, well, it doesn't have the actual Chinese name, but it translates to Dong Dong the Immortal Legend, or as the main title screen calls it, Dong Dong Never Die. Okay, so I want to read to you guys the synopsis of the game's plot. It's a fighting game, but you know, a lot of the story mode has, you know, an actual
plot
that goes through it. So it says, Dong Dong Never Die is a fighting game that defies all but the hardiest attempts at description. Suffice to say, just before its destruction, Skynet sends more advanced Terminator, the 9 vulnerable, gun-wielding, super-strong, and water-drinking Shenghua Nan, to the past. In response, the leader of the human resistance, Dong Dong, sends back a T-800 model Terminator that has been reprogrammed to protect his past self. Does this sound like anything familiar to you?
Oh.
That's a Terminator fighting game.
Let me continue. Both Terminators arrive at a time when fighting representatives from all parts of China, such as Sung Wukong with a can of spray paint, some guy with a huge afro and an inner tube, and Super Mario show up. Now, this game should be terrible. It's all like actual live action actors captured. And actually, they kind of showed some behind the scenes stuff in the end credits. And they were just all still photographs that were all painstakingly cut out by the game designers and moved
sometimes
around.
Not even with a green screen.
Yeah. This game should, like I said, it should be terrible. It blatantly rips off sound effects, music tracks, stages from other games. It is just cobbled
Super Mario.
Super Mario.
On the whole.
Chinese just games have a really bad habit of like being horrible, horrible ripoffs.
Here's the thing. The game itself is really tight. The gameplay is surprisingly tight. Like the specials feel really good. The move lists are all excellent. It's because they've ripped off all of the moves from other fighting games. With similar like systems.
Are there Tekken controls? Because I hate Tekken controls.
No, it's all Street Fighter and SNK. It's mostly SNK.
Okay.
But it is just unreal.
Just tournaments. Bananas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I showed you guys a little bit.
Yeah,
of it,
it was weird.
Yeah, just I can't. And the final boss is so frustratingly difficult because one of his special moves is he can heal himself. He's also invincible while he's healing himself. So he just
you can't stop him.
You can't stop him. Once he gets down to about a third health, he fills up his life bar again.
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically, you got to keep juggling him so he can't do that.
Pretty much. Yeah, but it is, it's free online. If you like fighting games and you don't mind the game crashing every 5 minutes, I would say go
and,
find it.
And no English?
No English, no. The title screen. The only English says, Dong Dong Never Die, in big bright red letters on a black background. And the weirdest thing is, you get through the game and you get through the credits. There's an actual, like challenge rounds where they throw like multiple fighters in all at once and you have to take them all out. If you get through all of the characters, it shows you a preview for their upcoming fan game for Streets of Rage on the Sony PSP.
Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah. It's so weird. And it looks good.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
It looks really good.
The sprite work is really good.
Yeah.
On a PSP.
But still, yeah. But I'm stymied by this game because it should be bad. It should be so bad. I wanted to sit back and laugh.
I mean, it looks like garbage.
But it plays really, really well. Like, surprisingly well.
Kind of reminds me of that MOBA that came out not too long ago that had, like, Shrek and Naruto in it.
Oh, yeah, that game.
Oh, yeah, no, there is a character in this. She is dressed like a Lolita. Like, she has a little parasol and, like, a, you know, like an old-timey, like...
Yeah, she wore like a little pink frilly dress.
Something
like, yeah, Japanese gothic Lolita fashion.
She summons Optimus Prime as a fighter, as one of her attacks.
Michael Bay, Optimus Prime, mm-hmm, no less.
Yes. God, there's...
What was that one fighting game back in the day that you could just download pretty much anybody and put in it? Mugen?
Mugen. This isn't Mugen, though. This is their own... They built their own game system.
Sort
of. On the backs of about five other different fighting game systems. But...
They cannibalized a lot.
Yeah. But
he took the parts that worked and made a game, and it
works. It works. It's ugly as hell, and it's super funny to look at, but it...
One of the characters is a shirtless, fat construction man.
Yeah, he has all command grabs. He is the Zangief of the game.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to think. Mario has a raging demon, the Akuma. Yeah.
And, Mario is the raging demon.
Yeah, and like you know how Kuma stands with the thing pops up on his back when he finishes that instant kill move. Well, Mario does that, but there's no room on his back, so they put like the little Chinese or Japanese symbol on his butt.
He's got a raging butt demon.
Yeah. Oh, it is beyond description. I just can't.
Dong Dong Never Die.
Dong Dong Never Die. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break here. When we get back, we got some news.
I think I got a couple more things I can talk about, too. I mean, after we come back.
After we come... Okay, yeah, we'll do that after we come back.
Hey, we're back. That was the Scooby-Doo theme as reimagined by Matthew Sweet from a cool album called... Was it just Saturday Morning?
I think so, yeah.
From the late 90s.
Which yeah.
I wore that album out as a kid. It's a good album.
Yeah, I'm glad you let me borrow it at one point because, yeah, and I made a copy of it. This was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Really good album.
Zoinks.
Anyway, we're back. We'll get to why we played that song in a second, but Cody, didn't you say you had another, like, one more thing that you checked out?
Yeah, what was it?
I don't know. Never mind.
Oh, the Five Nights at Freddy's game. The
oh,
one
yeah.
That dropped. It's a weird story. We might as well talk about it.
Yeah, it's half like news, half like check it out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So the last, well, not the last Five Nights at Freddy's game, but the newest one dropped early because that's what he does. He releases the games early.
Mm-hmm.
And it is super weird and not in a scary way.
Oh, really?
It's an RPG, a kind of turn-based RPG with all of the Freddy's characters.
Oh.
And you walk around a map and do RPG battles, and it's not scary, and it's weird and broken.
Oh, that is really
broken
weird.
Broken as in it doesn't work, or broken as it's too powerful.
Broken as it's missing features that not even a mediocre RPG game would forget.
Aww,
huh. Like, you can't check your stats in any way, shape, or form.
Ooh.
There's not even an indicator to tell you what level your characters are.
Oh.
When it first came out, there was no explanation to what any of the moves do.
Hmm.
And they had names just like water hose and birthday.
Huh.
And so you had no real way to tell what these moves were or what they
did.
Or
what they're for.
Except just to use them, and even then it wasn't terribly clear.
I think he took some damage.
Basically. And there's barely what little story there is given to you by a golden Freddy bear that you run into on the map occasionally, and it's not very well written.
Oh, jeez.
Because I think Scott Cawthorn, however you pronounce it, is more of a visual storyteller than
he is
a written storyteller.
Yeah, I would agree.
It really doesn't work.
Do you think maybe he just kind of phoned this one in?
I think he just got excited and, like, released it too early.
Yeah, it could have stood to be in the oven a little while longer. Everybody was led to believe that it would have not 3D worlds, but like the pre-rendered 3D worlds
right.
that he does.
Yeah.
But the whole overworld map is 8-bit, like, tile moving around.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's really weird.
Yeah.
And he's since apologized.
Good.
And offered refunds to anybody that wants one, regardless of how long that they've played it, which is cool. I mean, I went for it. Because he's going to re-release it later, not on Steam, for free, once he fixes the overworld and adds in all this stuff that should have been there to begin with.
Okay. Well, that's good. At least he's going back and making good.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I mean, he got excited. He maybe bit off more than he can chew, because an RPG is not an easy thing to make, for one.
Yeah. Yeah, when you've been making jump scare games, for like the past X amount of titles.
And like, it just is so thematic, well, not thematically, but tonally different than all of the other games too, because as far as I could tell, it's not scary. And I put about 4 hours into it, and it's more cute than scary.
Maybe that's the big twist at the end. You get at the end, and then it's the big jump scare to make you poop your pants.
Yeah, there's just a jump scare at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really hard to tell. It makes him look kind of like a crazy person. Like, it's probably all it was, is he just got excited about his new game and wanted to show it off, and it wasn't done
yet.
Hey,
I've been working on this thing. Look, I could do something different.
Yeah. I mean, when you have people yelling at you 24 hours a day about how you're a fraud and that all your games are the same, you know, that'll probably happen.
Yeah, true. I'll tell you what's weird. Kind of off topic. I was looking at upcoming pops and stuff on Funko's website, and there's a crap ton of Five Nights at Freddy's stuff coming.
Oh, yeah. Merchandise is just starting to pop up everywhere.
It's
Hot Topic has a...
I know. You're getting, like, t-shirt. It's weird. I haven't played any of the games, and now I feel like I have to, just to see what all the hype's all about.
They're pretty good games. They're not bad.
Yeah,
I mean, if you know what you're getting into.
We should play it together sometime. It'd be hilarious.
Oh, yeah. We need to do a Let's Play and
we
have all
go
in cold.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah,
we
don't play it, because we're going to do it. We'll do a Let's Play. All
right.
Yeah,
we'll do a Let's
cool.
Play. All
that'd
right. Cool. Done. All right. Scheduled.
Well, hey, plans made. All right. Okay, well, hey, let's get into a little bit of this news with a little bit of time we have left here. We played that Scooby-Doo song because of Hanna-Barbera stuff coming up through DC Comics, right?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Kinda. So
there's some good and there's some bad. It's not the first time DC has jumped into the Hanna-Barbera pit.
Well, no, they actually have put out ongoing series. It's in their kids line, I think.
Yeah,
there's a Scooby-Doo
they
book.
Still do
and they
Scooby-Doo comics, and they're surprisingly faithful to the source material.
Yeah.
They did a Space Ghost comic back in
06.
Was it 06?
It was the year after I graduated. Yeah.
It was 6 issues?
Yeah.
And it was really, really good, really serious, and kind of dark, but it was amazing.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to remember that DC Comics is owned by Warner Brothers, which also owns all the Hanna-Barbera properties. So DC can use whatever they want from any of those franchises. And it looks like they're going to be putting out a bunch of not for kids. Well, I mean, not like they're going to be gory or anything like that. but like not kid friendly books based on Scooby-Doo, Wacky Races, and like all of
the Flintstones
and like all the action, like the space action stuff.
Yeah, that Space like Ghost, Herculoids, Johnny Quest, all in one.
The
comic,
action,
I guess.
The action
that's
stuff.
Cool.
I think it was called Future Quest.
Yes, Future Quest. Yeah. That's what it's called.
So I'm looking at this thing here, and the Scooby-Doo title is called Scooby Apocalypse, and it's like set in like some weird
cyberpunk future Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I hate it.
Oh yeah, I don't like it at all.
I don't like this picture at all. That's not good.
They all look like a, like, well, Shaggy looks like a straight up hipster.
Yeah.
And like
with his earplugs and his tattoos.
Yeah, I don't like to call people hipsters, but it's really the only way you could describe it. I mean, he's got
for people to visualize it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the waxed mustache and beard, and like he looks like he stepped off the streets of Brooklyn and into Scooby-Doo. Like, it's really bad. And Fred has a tribal tattoo on his arm,
yeah,
which is weird.
And Velma looks like a child.
Yeah, she looks...
Velma looks like a little kid.
She looks like to be about 5.
Mm-hmm. And it looks as though Scooby is going to communicate through emojis. You notice by all the little floating things by his head and, like, the weird, like... cyber eyebrows that they've given him.
He looks like some sort of technomancer.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's that.
Re-Rack, you gotta slice the system.
I don't understand why they keep like trying to reimagine Scooby-Doo. Of all the Hanna-Barbera properties, I think that's the one people get the most mad when they try to change.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants this.
No, nobody does.
A pup named Scooby-Doo?
Now,
that was a good show.
Oh, and the art by that is done by Jim Lee. So he's the one that redesigned all of the New 52
Oh, it DC. Looks like
so,
that.
Yeah.
That would be why we hate it so much.
Yeah,
because I
much.
Hate New 52 costumes.
Yeah.
Daphne doesn't bother me, though.
The Daphne isn't bad. The Daphne is actually the coolest of the bunch.
With her laser rifle.
She just looks like an awesome cyberpunk Daphne.
She does, yeah. So next up is this Future Quest. Now, this is all the space, like, action, everything. You have Gigantor in the background, it looks like. There's the...
Birdman.
Birdman's in there. Let's see.
No.
The
Birdman!
Let's see. There's Mitor. There's the Impossibles.
Oh, the Impossibles? That's awesome.
Wow. They're, man, that's some deep cuts.
Frankenstein Jr.?
You know what? I thought it was Mitor. It might be Frankenstein Jr. back there. But that's really cool.
That's still Mitor. That's not Gigantor. That's Frankenstein Jr.
Okay. Well, anyway, this looks really cool. And it looks like the art is done by Darwin Cook, who did the Justice League New Frontier.
Mm.
I love his style.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. So, and it fits perfectly with this type of book. It just looks great. I will pick that one up. That one looks really good.
It'll be fun.
Okay. So next up is the Flintstones. I'm kind of torn on this one.
It's not offensive.
No, it looks like the Flintstones, but it's Amanda Connor doing the art, and she does a very kind of, I don't want to say pin-up-y kind of style,
yeah,
but
it's kind of. She's one of my favorite artists.
Her Power Girl and her stuff on Harley Quinn have been really good, but it doesn't
quite feel like Flintstones.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
Like, Fred's really buff. Dino looks more like an actual dinosaur.
He looks like he walked off the Jurassic World set and they painted him purple.
It's just realistic enough to make it not right.
Yeah.
Because her style is a little cartoony, but not enough for the Flintstones, I think.
It looks like somebody's DeviantArt drawing the Flintstones.
Yeah.
A good DeviantArt
drawing. Very nice. Yes, one of the better ones. But
not something you base an entire comic around.
Yeah. Although Barney still looks like me, so
yeah, he does. He really
does. Yeah, I fully own up to that one. Fruity Pebbles.
Oh man, I missed it. This one I'm super excited about.
Okay, so there's a one based on Wacky Racers that's going to be like Mad Max, right?
Which is the brilliant idea, and I love it.
Yeah, so it's called Wacky Raceland.
Yes.
Oh, I had a hard time saying that one.
Wacky Raceland.
But no, shoot, that looks really cool. Well, that's Penelope Pitstop's car right there.
Yep.
And let's see.
The Anthill Mob in the back.
I think that is the Anthill Mob with a giant gun on the top of their old school dragster.
Oh, I'm excited.
No, yeah, that looks...
It looks really cool.
That looks good.
It makes me wish there was an animated series.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so logo for
Scooby-Doo. Why did they call it Scooby-Doo Apocalypse? Why'd they drop the do?
Who knows? Okay, there's another shot of the future stuff. That looks cool. Looks
good. Who did that old school, that old Ghostbusters cartoon? The original.
That wasn't.
Oh, not the real Ghostbusters.
It's Funimation.
Was that Funimation?
That was Funimation.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
There's a Brack.
There's a Brack back there.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'm excited.
Oh, that's all the Space Ghost villains. That's a Legion of Doom.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, you got the Monster Rancher. It's not Monster Rancher.
Spider Queen lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Zorak.
Moltar Zorak.
Metallus over there.
Yeah. Oh, Tanzit. With the rusty metal. Actually, I think Brack is holding the rusty metal from Space Ghost Coast to Coast. Oh, but that looks really good.
Who's behind Space Ghost?
Let's see. That is Coily.
Oh, yeah.
From The Impossibles. And who was the Galaxy Trio? That's who it is.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the second half of the Space Ghost cartoon back in the 60s was Space Ghost and the Galaxy Trio. And they were basically like three-part Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
But in space.
Yeah, dropping the kids.
Mm-hmm. But that looks great. Yeah. And Space Ghost has just the right amount of smirk in that picture. That is cool.
I've always really loved Space Ghost.
Yeah.
I will always read his dialogue in George Lucas' voice.
Yeah. I know, right? Space Ghost Coast to Coast was like such like a huge thing.
Oh, it was a big part of my childhood.
Absolutely.
Massive part of my childhood.
And a lot of my humor comes from that kind of... yeah.
That Mystery Science Theater is like most of my sense of humor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Oh, man.
I just hope in this new comic, Brack calls someone buddy just once.
But yeah, super excited about that. Not so hot on Scooby-Doo.
Or the Flintstones.
Lukewarm on the Flintstones.
Yeah, we'll have to see a little more of the Flintstones stuff. Maybe Connor's only doing the cover art. Maybe
a lot of times they do that. She just does the cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe it'll be better than that supposed Seth MacFarlane Flintstones reboot they were talking about.
That did not look great.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that still a thing, or is that dead in the water? Because I don't
know. Who knows? You know, he got busy writing Ted and Ted 2, so who knows? I mean, he does voices, but he doesn't really write Family Guy anymore. So, who knows?
And that's readily apparent.
Yeah, yeah. So, sticking with the DC stuff, DC is planning on rebooting all of their main continuity books again June.
You're not listening to an old episode of the show. They are doing it again.
Yes.
It's a new 52.
They're rebooting the new 52. Everything is rolling back to issue number ones. A lot of their books are going to be put out bi-monthly. They've decided that a lot of their lower selling books are going to be on alternating months with other books.
That's fine.
Oh my God. It feels forever between comics coming out.
Yeah.
Unless you're a Marvel fan.
Well, yeah,
they make it freaking rain.
Yeah. But I love DC. I've been a DC guy my entire life. And I still, if I were to choose between DC and Marvel, like the universe, the comic book universes, I'll go DC 9 times out of 10 just because Marvel always seemed a little too like real, which is weird to say.
No,
because
I get what
you
you're
have
saying.
Like a world-eating like space guy in a purple hat and like Silver Surfer and stuff.
But their characters always had very realistic flaws and problems.
They were
Their problems were always based in reality in some way or another.
Where DC was always a little grander and a little more theatrical. But I'll be honest, this reboot is where I'm jumping off. I can't do it anymore.
It doesn't help that Marvel has been just killing it lately.
that certainly doesn't help things. But DC, New 52 hasn't worked, and it hasn't worked since its
inception.
And it's no more apparent than now when they had like a mini soft reboot a few months ago, where they didn't reboot the numbers, but they changed a lot of their books.
Yep.
They ruined Wonder Woman. They just utterly destroyed that book.
Green Lantern is almost completely unrecognizable. because he's not using... Well, he's still green, but he doesn't use a power ring. And he flies around in a spaceship with a couple of space criminals.
Basically trying to make Guardians of the Galaxy.
I didn't understand what you
said. I'm sorry.
Try it again. No, try it again.
You can't yawn on the radio.
Basically making him Guardians of the Galaxy.
Basically. And it doesn't work.
No.
Not with Green Lantern. He's a good guy space cop.
Yeah. in a lot of the lesser books, which I was really excited for when the New 52 started, they've all been canceled. Like Frankenstein and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was great. Super Spy Frankenstein. That was awesome. And they canceled it after 13 issues. OMAC, which was a great Jack Kirby homage, canceled after 8.
Basically,
Swamp Thing got canceled.
They were supposed to be 52 titles when the New 52 came out.
There's a strong 44 at this point.
Yeah.
And to be honest, hardly any of them are any good. No. Batgirl is good.
Batgirl's good. Well, the Batgirl since issue...
Since Babstar took over art.
Yeah.
And they soft rebooted that entire series.
Yep.
The Gail Simone Batgirl wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. No, it was...
It was good up to, like, issue 28 when the entire writing staff left and DC said, look, you can get her engaged, but you can't marry her.
No, that's you're thinking of Batwoman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Batwoman. Yeah. What'd you say?
Batgirl.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
But, I mean, they've done some good things. Yeah, Grayson is decent as a spy story.
Yeah.
Bat books have been kind of untouched, but...
Sort of.
At this point, it's kind of getting long in the tooth anyway.
Except for the fact that, you know, Gordon is Batman.
That's true. That's because of this soft reboot.
Yeah, well, but Bruce is coming back anyway. They've already said he's coming back.
Yeah. But anyway, in June, the whole line's going to be rebooted to new number ones again, which is ridiculous.
And they said it's going to have a TV and movie focus, which sounds bad.
Which means you're going to get more Superman and more Batman books than anything else. They're going to add...
Well,
like
we already didn't have that.
Yeah, there's going to be, I think I read somewhere there's like going to be like 7 or 8 Batman family books.
Yeah. Well, there's already that right now because you got Gotham Academy, mm-hmm. you got Batman, Batgirl, Batwoman. Well, I don't know. I'm not even sure if Batwoman's still printing.
I don't think so.
Grayson, Robbins.
There was a Red Robin book, but I think that got canceled.
Yeah, Red Robin's
No, Red Robin and the Outsiders is still going.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. It's not good, but it's still going. The Outsiders is Arsenal. Green Arrow's old sidekick. That's it. It's just the two of them.
Well, isn't that one a clone, though, of Roy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that has the missing arm.
Yeah. Comics, everybody.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, shoot.
I don't like the TV movie synergy thing, because it just makes everything the same.
Well, that and the fact that the writers for the Arrow TV show took over for the Green Lantern or for the Green Arrow comic and started adding in their Arrow characters.
And it made it not very good.
No.
Although Green Arrow wasn't going really well to begin with. From the way this article reads, it sounds like they're going to be doing even more of that, where they're going to be tying their books directly to the cinematic and television universes. Bleh. So you're going to have 22-year-old Flash, moping every 5 pages.
They already have that. They already have the CW's Flash comic.
Well, it's going to just become the Flash comic starring CW's Flash.
Then you're just going to get the leftover crap that wasn't good enough to use on the show.
Exactly. And that's why a lot of their books are going to bi-monthly.
Yeah.
So they don't have to use so much of the leftovers. Like I said...
Harley Quinn's good.
Harley Quinn's good, but she's starting to get overplayed a little bit.
True.
How many books does she have now? Like two or three at the
Harley
same
Quinn,
time?
Harley Quinn, Suicide Squad.
Harley Quinn's black book.
Yeah.
She
Starfire.
Yeah, basically Starfire.
Starfire, getting her book hijacked by DC's Deadpool.
She is a guest in the Poison Ivy limited run that's going now.
Yeah.
It's...
Well, they're gal pals.
And here's the thing... gal pals. And here's the thing, because this is taking a more cinematic approach, how much of the current Harley Quinn book, which is really good, is going to be converted to the Margot Robbie Suicide Squad version.
Yeah.
Which is, is from the trailer.
It looks like it works for that film.
It looks like it works for that film, but it doesn't look like it's going to work for the comic universe.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like I said, I think this might be my jumping off point for DC, or for the majority of DC, because I can't go through another renumbering. I can't do it. It's killing me.
I don't know. Marvel's gone through like 3 or 4 renumberings this year or last year.
This year alone.
Here's what comic companies should do. They should move away. If it were up to me, they would move away from the ongoing, storylines and hire writers to come on for 6 issues or 8 issues, enough to make a trade and make them just all miniseries based. And they can tie into continuity previous books if they want to. They could ignore previous books if they want to. That way, if something works, great. If it doesn't work in 8 issues, it's going to be done. You have enough for a trade paperback. You can put it out, and it makes it super accessible to any reader who has a passing knowledge of, like, they're not going to go through the origin story every single time, but they'll, like, if you have a passing knowledge of, hey, this is the Flash. He runs fast. His name's Barry Allen. He's a cop during the day and runs fast at night. That's all you need to know. Here's an 8-issue contained story that if you want to get more, you can read a couple issues before or after. But this is a contained story in one book.
Kind of like what they did back in the day.
Yeah.
Just do it. Yeah. Number one every 6 months, basically. That's fine.
Exactly. Yep. And they would just call it like the Flash : Running Fast Man or...
Change
yeah,
the,
just
yeah.
a different yeah.
Yeah,
kind of like how you had like, you know, Batman Nightfall, and
you take the story arc name, you just make it the yeah. title of the book.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Hush.
Court of Owls.
Yeah, exactly. But if it were up to me, that's the way I would do it because the days of having 700, 800 issues of a comic
are
stretching
done.
Completely, it's never going to happen again.
No.
And the idea of going into a new era of comics thinking we're going to make 700, 800, 900 issues of this book all the way through and then rebooting it in 15 months. Hmm. It gets tiring.
It is frustrating. It really is. It's kind of why I haven't really done much with DC in the last year or so.
I bought that Poison Ivy book, but I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. I heard it's okay. I haven't. I need to get down to the shop and actually pick up some books. That's the other thing. I haven't picked up hardly any books because... I'm just not invested in the stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Anyway, we have a couple of things real quick to run through before we get out of here.
Nicktoons movie.
Yeah.
They are making a movie about all of the Nicktoons together. One big movie.
It's kind of interesting because they've been pushing this Splat thing they've been wanting to do with bringing back all these old shows and stuff and playing them again. It's like they're trying to breathe new life back into the classic Nicktoons again.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. They want to do a movie universe about the Nicktoons.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of weird thinking about all these different Nicktoons existing within the same universe.
Oh, yeah, because they're all so tonally different. I don't even want to imagine Ren and Stimpy in the same room as the Rugrats.
But I can see Ren and Stimpy in the same room as Rocko's Modern
yeah,
Life.
Yeah, that's not such a stretch.
Or the fact that if the kids in Rocket Power swim out far enough, they run into SpongeBob.
Yeah, there we go.
Hopefully they drown there. Oh, that show is terrible.
Oh, Rocket Power.
Bitter much?
Oh, man. Although I can see the Rugrats and the All Real Monsters universes.
They did that, actually.
Tied.
There was the crossover episode.
I do remember that. Mm-hmm. That was good.
It was a nightmare that the babies were
man,
having.
Man, All Real Monsters was my jam.
That was a good
great show.
It.
Did you ever play the Super Nintendo game?
No.
Super hard.
It's pretty good. You can switch characters, and it's kind of like Lost Vikings.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah,
I love Lost Vikings.
But super tough, though. I had a hard time with it anyway.
But the movie's gonna be directed by Jared Hess, the Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre guy, and that,
so it'll I mean, be
that
good.
Good.
So
yeah,
it
you
seems
know,
about right.
Yeah, he's a good director.
One out of two.
Nacho Libre is terrible.
I like both those movies.
No, I love Napoleon Dynamite. I don't care for Nacho Libre.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, that was cute.
I don't care for it.
I mean, if you were expecting another Napoleon Dynamite, then no, that's not what
I really wasn't. Until actually this point, I didn't even know they were connected.
Well, to each his own.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm going to fight on
that. I will fight you. It's on.
Okay. One last thing. We don't have to get into it deep, but Mighty Number Nine watch.
Oh,
remember that Kickstarter that I foolishly backed years ago?
KG Inafune's successor to Mega Man.
Yeah. How it was delayed like two or three times. Well, supposed to come out at the end of February. That's not happening. Delayed again. And
they always wait till the last minute to delay it again.
Yeah. And it's all based around network. Like
yeah,
network
the online
play.
It doesn't work, apparently. The online play no one wanted.
Which begs the question, why does Mega Man need online play?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't make any sense.
And I've read his Inafune's letter to all the backers, because he actually wrote one out or had someone translate one out for him. And he explained that the problem is that they've been working on the game for so long that the game system that they started building the game with has gone defunct. So there's no more updates for. So anytime that there's a bug, they have to go in and hard code the bugs, the engine out. And the network play issue is on all the systems that they're building it for. And it all requires different things that needs to be hard coded and fixed.
It sounds like this needs to scrap it and rebuild it from ground
well,
up.
Well, when I played at this the demo, point, that's the first thing that I thought.
Yeah, that's the thing. If we didn't get that demo, then I would be upset that it's getting pushed back, but I wouldn't worry about it too much. That demo was not good.
Oh no. No, it was not. And I didn't even finish it, honestly. I got about right before the boss, and I'm like, I get it. It's
basically
terrible.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing here. And you know, if you notice, I'm not getting mad about it. Last time this was pushed back, I got mad about it. I just don't care anymore. I just don't care.
It's not like there's not alternatives to if you want a Mega Man game now.
Yeah.
There's plenty. Like, since they announced Mighty No. 9, at least 3, 4, 5, 6 games
at least
come out
that we can think of off the top of our head. Yeah.
That are very Mega Man related. Azure Striker Gunvolt, Legend of the Dark Witch, Venture Kid on the iPhone, Mighty Gunvolt, the free game you get with Azure Striker Gunvolt, Mega Man Legacy Collection has come out. Shovel Knight, which everyone loves.
Two kinds of Shovel Knight, yeah. Because they also had that DLC with the second character. Like an entirely different campaign.
And these people didn't have any problems releasing their game within the span of 3 years.
I think the problem is Inafune and his team bit off more than they could chew. Their eyes got too big for their stomach.
Too many stretch goals.
Yeah, too many stretch goals. Just...
They shouldn't have decided to release all the different versions simultaneously.
Yeah. It just...
They probably shouldn't have did 3DS version.
Probably, because that's a big issue. But, you know, my interest in this game at this point is zero. I just don't care anymore.
Yeah, I mean... He messed up.
He messed up.
He messed up.
Yeah. But I tell you, a game I am looking forward to, Great Detective Pikachu with his super deep voice. Yeah. That was super weird.
Yeah, that dropped the other day out of nowhere. There's a detective game starring a Sherlock Holmes Pikachu.
And he has a weird, like, he's speaking an actual language, and it's super deep. It's weird. I love it.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
It's like a Detective Conan kind of thing.
Kind
of.
Oh, very
yeah.
much, yeah.
And then they play, like the BBC Sherlock music at the beginning.
Kind of, yeah. So I don't know.
I mean, I'll play it, and it's weird because when Detective Pikachu meets another Pikachu, the other Pikachu is just going, you know, Pika-Pee!
Yeah.
And he's like...
Thank you for helping me out.
He put all of...
Let's solve some crimes.
All Why of Pikachu? The tax slots were put into logical deduction. in the English language.
Yes.
I see you have mud on your shoes and grass on your shirt. You have fought a Beedrill 2 days ago.
Have you been stalking around the... tall grass at 3 a.m.
All right, I just wanted to end this show on a high note because, man, I was starting to get down about Mighty No. 9. Anyway, let's get out of here. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. Find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Hey, if you have Facebook, and most people do, you can find us over there in the big blue box at facebook.com/nerdoverload website.
Email us with any questions, concerns, comments, requests, anything, death stories.
Your favorite pizza topping?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to hear that.
You can do that at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet us all kinds of 140 character messages over @nerd_overload. You can also keep you abreast of any posts on the website.
Yes, which we are doing now.
Yes, there's been at least two.
It's soon to be more. So, again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.